Oh, well, you don't have to make that noise, dear. Please. No, they
always miss that number.
I know. Well, they've lost the record, and they can't find it, and there's no use of you trying to sing it.
You know, that Cliffy Stone is a nice, big, husky guy. I call him husky. That's what we term it after you get to be our age. And he always gives us a nice plug, you know. I really enjoy listening to him. I didn't realize how much personality he's got and how clever he is until I've listened to him now for a few weeks. Don't you think?
Oh, he has a wonderful personality.
I think we ought to have him over for hotcakes some morning.
No, dear, he eats us out of our house and home, and we just cannot afford it.
Good old Cliffy. I hope he's tuned in now and listening to us, because he'll love that. He can come over anyway. I'm going to ask him.
Okay, dear. Well, you look very bright and gay. How did you sleep?
Well, I slept wonderfully, considering all the details and the facts and things that happened to me last night. You know, that reminds me of an old chap that I used to know.
Oh, really? So early in the morning, dear? You must have had a wonderful time at your dinner last night.
I did. Did you like the way I said old chap?
Old chap? Yes.
Yes.
You're getting more English than me, dear.
Let's keep it strictly American. This old chap, you know, I remember an anecdote that he kind of came forth with. I was talking to the old man, and I happened to ask him how he had been sleeping, and he said, "Well, son, I sleep good nights," he said, "and I sleep pretty good mornings, but afternoon I just seem to twist and turn."
Means he slept all day, you mean?
Well, don't explain him, dear. I mean, just keep it there.
Well,
if you didn't understand it, don't explain it. That's all right.
I wouldn't try to imitate him. I don't think your studio, Republic, would like that.
No, you might have something. Say, how come you have the whole newspaper? Is anything new in it? I see you grabbed it off the first thing before I got to it, or even got around to looking at the sport page.
Well, you should get up earlier, then. I was reading about a duel in Washington between two crotchety Spanish-American war veterans.
A duel?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you were reading about a duel between Spanish-American war veterans?
Yes.
They were pretty old to be having a duel, weren't they?
Yeah, John L. Cook was 67, and Emilio Capetz was 69. And they fought over a woman yet. And they began fencing very creakily with their canes and ended up by banging each other over the head.
I wonder how old the woman was.
Oh.
Evidently it was an affair of honor anyway.
Oh, seems so. And every time John went out with Mrs. Oh, her name was Leona Huff, a widow. Well, the other one, he shadowed him by Emilio. And he became annoyed about this. So that's how the whole thing started.
Were all these names in the paper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we won't get sued first anyway. I hope the old boys weren't hurt too badly anyway.
Well, Emilio was figured the winner because he only had a minor wound on his scalp. And John was the loser with a black eye, several stitches in his head, and a scarred face. But he boasted, "I landed some good ones on him, too." Is that cute?
You read that right out of the paper, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the age of chivalry isn't dead after all. How about passing me just a little section of the paper? Give me the stock page or the sporting page I'd prefer, and let me read the rest of it myself.
Here.
I hate anybody reading the paper to me.
All right, dear. Here you are, then. How about some coffee while you're at it?
I'd like it. Breakfast Club is my style.
Do you want some bacon, or would you like eggs or hot cakes this morning, dear?
Yes, I'll take them.
Which?
I'll take them.
Are you going to take them all?
Well, you said eggs and hot cakes.
Oh, you can't stuff yourself like that in the morning.
Olives?
Just some eggs and bacon.
No olives, please.
I'll give you olives in a minute. I'll hit you on the head like Emilio did and see what happens to you if you don't shut up.
All right. How about start the charcoal fire, will you? Going
well,
at 5.
You want to eat on the patio tonight?
Eat on the patio? I certainly would eat on the patio if you'll start the fire, as I said. That's what I had in mind. You're getting very bright and very alert.
I'm
when I
bright.
Tell you to start the charcoal fire tonight at 5. When I get home, I'll put on the steaks and we'll have a big night.
All right, let's ask a few people around, too.
Few?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by a few?
A couple. I think we should have some lamb chops as well as the steaks, don't you?
Lamb chops?
Well, I've got a new way of doing them, dear. You just split the chops and insert mint leaves before broiling them. Oh, it gives them a wonderful flavor.
You split them which way? Just put little holes in them and put mint leaves in them?
No, dear. You cut them in the middle. Split them in half.
Is that what you call a julep?
No, dear,
julep?
That's a drink. Well,
I
you can always call it a lamb julep, but it's
awful. How
about
some nice
good.
Big potatoes that Shall I wash some of them to bake tonight or something?
Oh, yes, and I've got a wonderful recipe for baked potatoes, too.
Oh, sister, here we go.
Wonderful. It's out of this world.
All you people who are listening, talk to yourself for a while. Go on with the recipe.
No, sir, they like to hear this, because everyone should listen to this.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure.
You drill a hole right through the potato, and you insert a weenie or a frankfurter before putting the potato into bake.
Come again, would you please, Mrs. Mike?
Well, you heard me.
You like Mrs. Mike better, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, come on. What do you do?
Oh, get on with your bacon and eggs.
What do you do now?
You put a frankfurter in the potato.
You put a hole in the frankfurter?
Yeah. No, no, no. You put a hole in the potato and put a frankfurter in the potato. And then, I've got another thing you can do with it. Sprinkle some cheese on the potato. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, there's a good thing for people to make at the beach, incidentally.
Wouldn't it be
I'd
good?
I'd recommend that very highly. They could just be thrown into the coals and eaten in the hand.
Sure, call it potato wiener. There's one more idea I have for potato chips. We could have these tonight, too, for the dieters, because they're not so fattening as baked potatoes.
Well, can dieters eat potato chips?
Well, a few, not too many. You sprinkle the potato chips with grated cheese and heat in a moderate oven. Now, that's a very fine idea.
You sprinkle the potato chips with one of those perforated nozzles. Is that the way you do it?
Yes, sir.
I think that'd be good with cocktails, too. How about suggesting cocktails?
I think so. I mean,
fruit cocktails, of course.
We could serve them first, and then I think you'd better let us know what the weather will be like before we start planning, really, an outdoor dinner.
You mean you're asking me at approximately 23 and a half minutes of 9 what the weather's going to be like?
Yes.
I can always go on the limb here. If the weatherman can go on the limb, he's right half the time, and all I have to do is guess, and I can be right half the time. He won't like that. Well, the weatherman says we're going to have intermittent sunshine, high, thin clouds. We're going to have low clouds continue this afternoon. The ground maximum in Los Angeles yesterday was 75 degrees, as compared to Tuesday, 73 degrees, in case you're interested. There was a 2-degree change. Do you know that?
That's great, but will it be nice tonight? I don't understand that language, dear. Is it going to be a good evening?
Yes, it is, dear, for romance and everything else.
Good. Then we'll eat outside on the patio and we'll have all that we've said.
Let me have that paper, will you, please?
I'm looking at an item, dear.
Oh, you are?
Yes, it says here, a woman in Columbus...
I know a woman in Columbus.
Ohio.
Where?
Ohio. Ohio.
Supposing she came from Iowa, how would you say that?
Iowa. Iowa.
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
Yeah. Come again.
Sound like
ahead.
A Chinese woman this morning. I cannot say that.
A woman from Columbus, Ohio.
Was testifying before the legislature against the bill to put quail on the game bird list in...
Ohio.
Right.
Right.
Are you opposed to shooting skeet? Asked the representative. Certainly, replied the woman. I am against shooting any bird or animal.
I'm going to just let it lay right there.
Are you really?
Yeah. You know the answer to that?
No.
Does it say so in the paper?
No, it doesn't say.
Well, you know what skeet is, don't you?
Well, skeet shooting.
Well, what are skeet?
Well, isn't that the thing you're shooting in the air? Clay, it's a clay pigeon, isn't it?
You got something there. That's a clay pigeon.
Well, that's the joke, I guess. Certainly, replied the woman, I am against shooting any bird or animal. And this was a clay pigeon she threw in the air. Well, that's fine.
That's the joke.
I guess so. Well,
everybody laughed.
I just read it. Go on, get on with your coffee now. Because you're as bad as a child.
What about the patio supper tonight?
Oh, well, getting back to our patio supper. Say, I'm sorry, incidentally, we missed the party at Cameron Mitchell's the other night.
It was your fault.
Yes, I know. They had 6 sugar-cured hens, which his parents had sent from Pennsylvania.
You mean they'd have had 8 instead of 6 if we'd have gone. Is that right?
Yes, but that's too much.
Did you know that Cameron is quite a baseball star?
No.
Did you know that?
No.
Well, he's one of Metro's up-and-coming actors as well.
Oh, really?
You know that, don't
you? Is he? No, I didn't know that.
He is. Well, he's a member of the Culver City baseball team out there, and it's a semi-pro team, and they play each Sunday. And I understand he's pitched in the last 4 weeks each Sunday. And he's allowed only about 4 hits a game, and that's quite a remarkable record for a pitcher. And he's hit .467. That's what we refer to as his batting average. And Dan Crowley, who was a good friend of mine and also a scout for the Detroit Tigers, offered him $10,000 to pitch for the Tigers. Did you know that?
No. And he preferred to be a star at Metro?
No, Metro preferred that he not pitch for the Detroit Tigers. They
oh.
ruled it out.
Oh.
However, he was in uniform... last week, and he was wearing a uniform that Dan Crowley gave him that formerly belonged to Hal Neuhauser, and also Dizzy Trout wore it for 1 year.
Dizzy Trout? Is that a fish? A trout? No.
Are you kidding?
Well, I don't know who Dizzy Trout is. Who is he?
Well, dear, Dizzy Trout is now one of the great pitchers in the American League, and if you would like to know, when I was catching for the Toledo Mudhens, the first game I ever caught, Dizzy Trout pitched.
No.
I was catching for the San Francisco Missions, the present Hollywood Ball Club, and during the sixth inning of the ball game, Willie Cam, who was our manager, came to me and he said, "Mike, you're flying to Toledo tonight."
Willie Cam?
Willie Cam, K-A-M-M.
Oh, I thought you were Dizzy Trout and Willie Cam.
Cam was a fellow that was sold up to the White Sox for
$100,000. Such names, I'm very confused.
Willie Cam told me, "You're going to Toledo tonight to get back to my story."
Yes.
And I got the airplane that night at 11 o'clock, arrived in Toledo at 6:15. Incidentally, Pop Brown and Grandma met me there. And I rode out to the ballpark, and Fred Haney, who is now broadcasting the games for the two local teams, was the manager of the team. And he said, "You're working tonight, Mike." And I went out there, and Dizzy Trout was the pitcher.
Yeah.
And he was a good pitcher then, and he's now one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah,
that's who Dizzy Trout is.
Nice
that all gets back to Cameron Mitchell pitching on Sunday and also acting at Metro and wore Dizzy Trout's shirt.
Yes, it's very confusing, but that was a fine report. You got in sports news and movie news at the same time.
Well, I thought that was...
really very good.
I thought that was a good bit of information. Here's another bit of information. Did you know that a new baseball... Have you ever seen a brand new baseball just as it came out of
a box? I've never looked at one, no.
It's very hard to grip, you know. It's very slippery and shiny. Have you ever seen one?
No.
Do you know why they do something to it, take the gloss off of it?
I have no idea.
Well, they do. In every ballpark, when you come out, they are not brand new baseballs in the keenest sense of the word. When you go out to a ball game, the umpires have taken the ball, or all of the balls that they're going to play with that night, and they've rubbed them up in dirt of some kind. For example, in the American League, they take a kind of a black muck that's taken out of a special section of the Delaware River. And they take this muck and they rub it over the seams in the ball and kind of massage it a little bit. And it's got a peculiar sort of a mica in it. And it has a tendency to kind of polish the ball, but at the same time not shine it. Do you know why they do that?
No, why?
Well, there's a rule in baseball that this has to be done because in the olden days of baseball, there were crafty pitchers and they'd kind of doctor up the ball, fix it up, as we'd say. They'd put tobacco juice on it to make it slippery on one side. In those days, spitball pitchers were legal, or they might scrape the ball down with a little sandpaper, the old emery ball, as they call it. And some of them used to have sharp obstacles on their belt buckles, maybe a phonograph needle or a pin or a sharp knife blade. And when they come back with that ball, they just cut the seam. And a smart pitcher who can get a rough ball like that can really do wonders with it. Fadeaways and sail. The ball will sail and it'll do all kinds of stuff.
Really?
I remember the first game, one of the first games that I ever caught in the Pacific Coast League, Clarence Mitchell, who was the old spitball pitcher, was pitching the game. And I was catching and he threw a spitter to me, as we call it. I'm using the vernacular. I'm not being off color or anything. He threw me a spitter. And I got a hold of this debris as I threw it down to second base. The fellow was trying to steal, and instead of throwing it to the second baseman, I threw it right into Louis Almada's hand, who was playing center field, way over the second baseman's head. That shows you how effective a spitter can be. It can get away from you. I'm sure this is all clear to you. And
I'm sure it's very clear.
The ladies.
As clear as that mud they got out of the Delaware River, and it's way over my head also, dear.
Not
but
the
I
mud,
know.
Dear. The mud has to be under you. It's at the bottom of the river.
Yes.
Well, anyway, that's bad dialogue, but it was a very dangerous day, and I can go further and tell you that it was that it would be a good thing to kind of keep quiet today and say as little as possible, because I read your notes on the horoscope. Am I right?
Oh, have you read them?
Yes. Well, it should make some husbands very, very happy.
Well, it's a very dangerous day.
It's a what?
It's a very dangerous
day. Yes, a very dangerous day.
I would say that... I can go farther and tell you that it would be a good thing to keep your mouth shut today and say as little as possible. you know? And as my husband said, it should make some people very happy.
Some husbands very happy, you mean?
Well, under these aspects, a good many husbands and wives are going to get the wrong impression of each other. So please, everyone, go slow and be cautious in what you say and do.
Well, I hope this is not a bad birthday day, especially for the kiddies that are born today, dear.
Oh, no, it's quite all right for them. Today's children will have a lot of intelligence and quick wits and good looks. And this will all help to make them successful socially and in business.
Well, now, I think it's the turn of Cancer. Shall we bring Cancer into it to have advice on the subject of marriage?
Well, those born from June 22nd to July the 23rd really don't need advice from me.
May I repeat those dates? That's
yes.
From June 22nd, did you say?
Yes.
To July?
23rd.
23rd, all right.
They make naturally very good mates themselves, and since they regard marriage as a lifelong partnership, they are usually very careful and successful in choosing their partners.
Well, that sounds encouraging.
They're constant and sincere, as well as affectionate, and they will work to put a marriage on a sound basis. But they expect the same devotion from their mates.
Well, that's logical and good reasoning. I'm still worrying about today being so bad for writing and speaking. Is there nothing good about it at all?
Oh, sure. Today is favorable for installing utility signals and buying metal gadgets, conquering a harmful habit, if you have one, beginning a new daily program. It's a good day to begin my diet, if you haven't already done so.
That's right, and there have been a lot of people that have asked about your diet, too,
you
know.
Oh, say, I have to. Yes, two or three of the people missed a couple of days, and I think most of them missed Monday and Friday. So get your pencils out, and I'm going to tell you what Monday's diet was to start.
A couple of the secretaries out of our studio need that diet, too, and they've been listening, and they want to hear it.
Well, I missed Mondays and Fridays. Or I didn't miss them. I did them, but some of my friends didn't have them down. Now, you know that breakfast is the same. Half an unsweetened grapefruit and coffee. Now, you can all do that. Don't be chewing anything else in between. Now, there's good girls. And the lunch for Monday is a steak, lettuce, and tomato salad. No dressing. Now, remember that. And an apple. Steak, lettuce, tomato salad, and no dressing and an apple. That's your lunch. Now, dinner is two hard-boiled eggs, string beans, and a half a grapefruit. Get it? Two hard-boiled eggs, string beans, and a grapefruit. Now, that's for Monday. Now I'm going to jump down to Friday, because a lot of the people miss that.
You're going to go from Monday till Friday?
Yes, that's all I've been asked, because there's a lot of people that miss those.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they just diet on love.
This is the fourth day, you see, one of the thing. So it's for lunch, two scrambled eggs, string beans, and a glass of tomato juice. Get it? Two scrambled eggs, string beans, and a glass of tomato juice. And for dinner, it's a steak, lettuce, salad, no dressing, and a glass of pineapple juice. Steak, lettuce, salad, no dressing, and a glass of pineapple juice. There you are. There it is.
Now, well, as long as you're answering questions for your listeners and your readers,
mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of nice letters from a lot of our friends, and I see that you get many more letters than I do. Of course, I understand that a lot of the housewives listening in, they like to get advice, and they like to exchange ideas with you. I imagine my mail will pick up one of these days. Incidentally, I'm not plugging for it or anything. I'm just saying that I don't feel slighted about it. But I have one here that's a pip, I think I ought to mention. There's a fellow here who writes to us, and he says, Dear Benny and Mike, he says, pardon my informing you that Benny doesn't merely mispronounce words, and you, Mike, I shan't even speak of. But she says that you said aluminum and mentioned it as being aluminium. And he says they happen to be two different words. But, of course, even though they might be two different words, I'm not conscious of the fact that aluminum, as we refer to it, is what the English refer to as aluminium. Is that right?
That's right. And it's spelt the same and pronounced differently. And so there's a young man that should go to night school or something, dear.
Yeah, well, he just lists himself as an amazed listener.
I'm amazed.
Well, I'm amazed that he listens if he didn't.
Yes, so am I. because he knows from nothing.
You know what a fellow like that should do?
What?
He should go down to the Ambassador Beach Club and listen to the fellow that has those new words program. You know, the fellow that
he might learn a few things.
Words. No, maybe he knows. I mean,
how can he know?
I'm glad he listens. I think it's a very good idea. Let's get off of this fella. I kind of like that line where he says, "As for Mike, enough said."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those things don't matter. But I want to tell everybody about this lovely. You see, we have so many nice letters. And as I said, we were giving away from Binnie Barnes' Tot of the Town a present for...
Did you pick the winner for this week?
Oh, no, it's not over yet, dear.
It isn't?
Oh, no. We're going to give away a present for a boy or a girl, and it can be your grandchild or your daughter or your son. It doesn't matter. For the one who sends us in the best jingle about Binnie and Mike's program.
Yeah, you ought to give about a $400 wardrobe.
Quiet. And it comes from Binnie Barnes, Tot of the Town, the baby store that I have, at 13503 Ventura Boulevard. And here's one of the jingles that was sent in that I think is awfully cute. And it says, "Dear Binnie and Mike, I just wrote you a letter a few days ago telling you how much our family enjoys your breakfast program. We never miss it. I want to send you a little jingle about it. There's a program that's a must with me. It's one that's clever as can be. Binnie and Mike and their family chat each morning on KFBD. Although I've always liked my tea, they've made a coffee hound of me." Isn't that cute?
Well, I think that's very good. KFBD, incidentally, is 10:20 on the dial.
It is, and the time is?
The time is approximately 8 minutes of 9. I'd say in 20 seconds it'll be 8 minutes of 9. And this is...
Binnie.
And this is Mike, and we come to you each morning, Monday through Friday.
Now, we're going to pick the best jingle from these, so send your jingles in so that we can hear, and then we'll send you a gift for your child. Doesn't matter who it is.
Well, where are you going to get the gift?
From Binnie Barnes, Tot of the Town.
Yeah, plug.
Now, there's so many lovely letters. You know, Mrs. Butler sent me in a very good jingle, which I won't read.
Not Mrs. Dave Butler.
No, Mrs. L.D. Butler. And she gave me a very good hint, which I think I should pass on.
L.D. Butler?
Yes.
Never heard of them.
Oh, dear, they're very nice friends of ours. They listen in every morning. They're our breakfast friends.
Well, I'm sure they're our friends.
And she gave us a very nice hint for children. She said, if you have a lot of children around, when you're cooking... Don't leave the handles out toward you. Turn them away on the stove so that the children
can't grab
a hold of them. And I think that's a wonderful tip, and I want to thank her very much indeed.
Incidentally, I'm a little bit annoyed about some of the bad habits that the children are developing.
Yes?
Perhaps I ought to start working on them or something. You know, little Michael just loves to bang a stick up and down the railings on the stairway.
My darling, I've been trying to stop that, and I'm afraid he was... just quite upset over it yesterday.
Well, was that what it was? He was in tears when I came down from the studio, and all he said was, "I just had a scene with your wife."
Well, he listens to the radio too much. He kills me with those grown-up speeches.
Well, he's a bright boy.
Oh, but still, the two boys are getting very noisy and out of hand.
You know the old slogan, like father, like son.
Well, they're getting very out of hand, dear. And I simply have to call them down over it. They're getting big enough to do quite dangerous things like climbing trees and railings, and, well, they just terrify me.
Well, that's because they're boys. Boys will be boys at any age. And incidentally, a lot of people have asked me how old the children are. How old are they?
Don't you know your children's ages?
Yes.
You know when you were married?
Yes, they have birthdays on the 4th of July.
That's two of them.
Maybe we ought to have a children's party on the 4th of July for all three of them.
Well, we always do. I don't know why we should stop it
Michael now. And Michelle will be 5.
That's right.
And Peter will be 4.
That's right.
Well, let's have a big shindig and get about 7,000 children and rent the Coliseum or Gilmore Stadium and have a big breakfast.
I just hope you'll clean up after all of this.
We could serve Sperry pancakes and...
I love you husbands and fathers. It's always, let's do it, dear. But lo and behold, when the morning comes and the cleaning up has to be done, you say, dear, I've got an appointment at my barber and the things are happening and, oh, you're never there, dear. It never works out that you turn out that you'll help us to do it. It's all do it, dear, but what happens?
Well, as far as the children are concerned, you've got to realize that boys, when they are boys and they like those rugged things, that you can't hold against them. Just be content with Michelle being a very nice, good little girl.
Well, I suppose all mothers feel this way. Oh, well. Do you play chess?
What was that?
I said, do you play chess?
Do I play chess?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great switch. What brought that on?
Well, I see where the Friedman brothers, Bill and Morris, they're writers on Duffy's Tavern. You know, they've challenged anyone in the industry to a chess contest.
You mean they'll take everybody on?
They'll take all comers and let the challenger name the stakes, and they must be good.
Well, Sirloin and T-Bone, they must be good. I happen to know Maury, incidentally. He's the Pacific Coast chess champion. I don't think I'll accept the challenge, as a matter of fact.
No, I wouldn't, because I hear they're really awfully good. You were out late last night. How was the dinner? Where did you say it was?
It was down at the Jonathan Club. Pop Brown and I went down and ran into a lot of the fellows. I enjoyed talking to Bob Kelly, you know, who has a sports show over another station each night, and also in the morning he's on another station with sports, and he came out here from Cleveland and is doing a fine job on the air covering sports throughout Southern California, and he was telling me about the great battle he was having with one of our local newspapermen, Gordon Macker. And I'm not going to have enough time this morning to go into the details of all of the discussion we went into. However, Bob did tell me that the Rams are going to have a great football team this year. You know, he's a great booster for the L.A. Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Came out here with them and broadcasts all of their games and has a radio sports show at night. And he tells me that the Rams are going to win the National League Championship. Of course, I'll have to talk to Dick Fischel about it because Fischel and Kelly are having a feud. Kelly's having a feud also with Macker, and it seems to be the thing these days.
Well, I talked to Alan Young on the set yesterday, and, you know, he's really a busy young man, what with his radio show, and he's going into a picture at 20th Century Fox.
Which
called
one?
Chicken Every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
With Gene Crane. He's emceeing the police show, and he tells me he has just received the 700th application for membership in his dog club.
Dog club? What's that?
Well, I'm sure you read about it, but have probably forgotten. Well, before Christmas, he bought dogs from the city animal shelter and gave them to all the children with a note of permission from their parents, of course. And the city was so impressed by this that the Humane Department of Mayor Bowron asked him to continue in some way. So Judge McKesson of the California Youth Authority told Alan that very rarely is a child who owns a dog a juvenile delinquent. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, I didn't know that.
So the Alan Young, Young Dog Club was founded.
Well, as long as we've got a minute and a half left here, dear, how about telling us the requirements for membership for the Alan Young Dog Club?
Well, every child who adopts a homeless dog is sent a pledge with 10 good rules of dog care to sign. Then they are sent a certificate saying that they are members of the Alan Young Dog Club. And Alan also sends them a metal tag for the dog that is numbered, saying that if the dog is lost, call the Alan Young Dog Club, and the owner will be contacted. And Alan keeps membership on file according to number. And he has really received a great deal of favorable comment for this. He also places dogs in good homes and finds dogs for children who want them.
Well, can our children belong?
Oh, yes. Alan says that although they already have Zesto, he will make them an honorary member and send Zesto a big tag.
Well, that sounds like good. And this is about the tag of this show, because we've got to sign off, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8:30. This is Mike saying so long.
And this is Binnie saying, our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. Goodbye now.